251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. New strikes from the U.S. and U.K. on Houthi rebels in Yemen. The latest from the BBC's Will Vernon.
It comes, of course, after those strikes on Thursday night led by the U.S. Following that overnight action, President Biden sent a warning to the Houthis. He said there would be a further U.S. response if they continue what he called their outrageous behavior. And in fact, the Pentagon said that on Friday, a missile was fired by the Houthis, but that missile failed to hit its target.
But amid concerns of a widening conflict in the region, President Biden says the U.S. is not in a proxy war with Iran. Temps are falling fast, and the record cold on the way will be a test of the nation's power grid.
ERCOT, the operator of the power grid in Texas, issued a weather watch ahead of a hard freeze that's expected to drive record-breaking power demand early next week. Houston resident Bob Cardenas is getting ready.
I got some insulation for some pipes coming into my house because 2 years ago it was that terrible freeze. And I don't want to relive that.
The Texas electric grid suffered a major failure during a deadly coal blast in February 2021. Places in the Mid-South, including Memphis, Tennessee, could see single-digit temperatures next week. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
You feeling yucky?
Winter respiratory viruses have been hitting hard this season.
It spread very quickly.
The Carter family suspects they got sick on a flight to Florida Christmas Day.
I've got a burning throat, I'm completely lethargic, and I've got a fever and headache.
And we should expect more illnesses to come. While some flu indicators decreased last week, like hospitalizations, the CDC says it's monitoring for another surge that usually comes after the holidays.
That's CBS's Michael George. Federal prosecutors will seek the death penalty for a white supremacist who killed 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket in 2022. Mark Talley's mother was among the victims.
I'm not necessarily disappointed in the decision. I just would have preferred it be a lot. It would have satisfied me more. Knowing more, he would have spent the rest of his life in prison, being surrounded by the population of people he tried to kill.
The 20-year-old white gunman is already serving a life sentence with no chance of parole after he pleaded guilty to state charges of murder and hate-motivated domestic terrorism.
Wasting away.
Well, you can now take the Jimmy Buffett Highway all the way to Margaritaville. The Florida State Legislature unanimously approved changing a section of Highway A1A in the Keys to the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway in honor of the late Parrothead. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one, headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the state elections commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
A lesson learned for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, but recently they went through a slump, losing four of their last five games. They may have hit rock bottom when they lost to the Jazz at home. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game, you know, the threes that we were giving up. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
Then a few nights later, the Bucks turned things around, and they beat the top team in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, by 33 points. Griffin on how to deal with a midseason slump.
You can't panic. You can't you know, make excuses. You can't blame. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. And we did that. And, you know, from Giannis to Dame, Chris, Brooke, all those guys have been tremendous. Bobby Portis in our meetings. So, you know, we stick together.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A winter storm warning continues across the region. A few more inches of snowfall possible. Winds blow it around out of the northwest to 35 miles per hour. Low tonight around 22. Temperatures fall throughout the daytime tomorrow and wind chills approaching 15 below Saturday night. Right now, it's 28.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers joining you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. And we are joined by at least one hazelnut grower. Paul Ronsheim is with us. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
It's Jason, actually.
Jason, I'm sorry. Jason, lovely to meet you. Jason Fishbach is joining us. And we're going to talk all things Wisconsin hazelnuts. I want to thank the wonderful people at WPR who actually turned me on to you guys with their article about American hazelnuts. And this is a growing thing, Jason. And so tell us a little bit about Wisconsin hazelnuts, because these aren't the hazelnuts, the nuts that you guys are growing are not necessarily the ones we normally think of, are they?
Correct. Yeah. Believe it or not, despite the, you know, what a great agricultural economy we have in Wisconsin, we don't actually produce a nut crop. And that's too bad because tree nuts in particular are, you know, multi-billion dollar industry globally. Well, it turns out we have a hazelnut that grows wild in Wisconsin called American hazelnut. And that's the plant that we've been working to develop into a viable crop. Most hazelnuts come from European hazelnut, but that plant won't grow in Wisconsin. It's not winter hardy, and there's the disease that kills it. But American hazelnut is plenty hardy, resistant to the disease. It just has not had the large enough nut size to support commercial production. So we've been crossing the two, and the offspring from those crosses have shown tons of potential, and that's really set the stage here for scaling a new crop. And finally, Wisconsin will have a nut crop.
That's really exciting. That really is. Obviously, yeah. Obviously, the little hazelnut needs its own lobbying organization. push for small hazelnuts. Come on, where's their support right. group? So, yep. is the taste very similar?
Well, depends who you ask. Not surprisingly, folks say the American hazelnut tastes a lot better than the European hazelnut.
Take that.
And there's some data to suggest that's true, not just, you know, subjective data. That's got a stronger aroma and stronger flavor profile. But really what's cool about it, you've maybe heard of Peruvian potatoes, right? It's like the genetic epicenter of potatoes. And that's where you see all different sizes and shapes and colors and tastes and whatever. Well, that's the same for American hazelnut here in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin. We've just barely started to explore all that's out there. So there's a huge diversity in flavors out there, and we're trying to find the best. And we find that some people like a little more bitterness, and some people like them nice and sweet. So our goal is to offer whatever folks want, right? So we're developing a bunch of different varieties around that flavor profile.
Jason Fishbach is a UW Extension agent. He runs the shelling facility in Ashland and has essentially been at the forefront of the Midwest hazelnut industry since its conception. So what can we do with hazelnuts? What should I be baking or making or eating with American hazelnuts?
Well, it's a great snack food. It's great flavor, packed full of energy and vitamin E in particular. That's a good way to start. The oil is the one that I think has maybe the most potential. It's a really versatile cooking oil. It's got a higher smoke point than olive oil, but it has the same oleic acid concentration as olive oil. So it makes it just as heart healthy, but is more versatile in the kitchen. We've got chefs and others in Minnesota and Wisconsin that just rave about it. So that's a great place to start is, you know, you can use it for cooking, but also on salads and whatever else. And of course, you know, most people have eaten hazelnuts with chocolate, either in Nutella or chocolate bars or whatever. So the thing we're working on, it's almost like a quintessential Wisconsin product, is dried cranberries, chocolate, and hazelnuts.
Ooh.
It's a winning combination. Put that in a trail mix or maybe in an energy bar form or whatever. It's great. So lots of ways to eat hazelnuts. That's why it's such a great, versatile crop.
And you were grinding it into flour too, right?
Yeah, so once you press out the oil, then you've got a protein-rich flour that people will use in baking of all, you know, pancake mixes, muffins, cookies, you name it.
And Jason, is somebody that has a household that is careful for tree nuts, with your experimenting of all these different crossing of the different types and varieties of hazelnut, is that something that can be removed, or is that always going to be one of the things that hazelnuts will still always kind of cause an allergic reaction for individuals that may be allergic to the nut?
Yeah, we've never actually evaluated, you know, how allergenic particular varieties are compared to each other. But my guess is that they're all going to trigger the same allergic response.
Okay.
Because, you know, they vary somewhat, but the protein structure and everything else is pretty similar. So
just more flavor profile then of what's what the different types are being able to be created. And
different flavors, different nut sizes.
Do we have samples out in the blizzard right now to try to see how well they hold up to the Wisconsin winters here in the Midwest?
Well, we love it when we get these Arctic snaps, you know, the polar vortex, because it really tests the material that we have out there. Most people don't like it, but we love it. So bring it on.
If you're just joining us, we're going nuts for hazelnuts. Jason Fishbach is a UW Extension agent. He runs the Schelling facility in Ashland, has been at the forefront of the Midwest hazelnut industry since it began. Are there only certain areas of the state, Jason, where you can grow these nuts?
So far, it's adaptable across the state. You know, the wild populations are way up by me in far northern Wisconsin, up in Bayfield County. Doesn't get much colder, or in Sawyer County, but it also grows really well in the far southern part of the state, east to west. We suspect there will be a Goldilocks zone, so to speak, you know, like the best place to grow hazelnuts, but we don't quite know where that is yet. But it's adapted to clay, to sand, to different pHs. So if we're going to have a widely adapted nut crop, this is it.
Sounds pretty versatile, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And was there a conversation at the onset of this that, similar to Jurassic Park, you know, the scientists then get asked, we never thought to ask the question if we should when we start genetically modifying some of the different dinosaurs in that movie. That's not an extreme case that we're going to have here with hazelnuts, right? We're not going to have the park get overrun by hazelnuts?
No, this is traditional crop breeding that's been done, you know, since humans started breeding crops. You save seed from your best plants and you cross it with the other best plant that you've saved. And then you grow out the offspring and you do it again and again and again. And eventually you get the high performing crops or new varieties or all that stuff.
Perfect. So no velociraptors. So far, we can confirm no velociraptors.
Nope, not yet.
Novelasa nuts, actually. Novelasa nuts. What does this mean ecologically, Jason? What is the impact of growing hazelnuts on the environment?
Yeah, well, so we know that to solve a lot of our agricultural problems, water quality in particular, we need to do a better job keeping roots in the ground. Annual tillage is really hard. And so agroforestry crops in general, but hazelnuts in particular, do a great job. So we see this being put out in alley cropping or windbreaks. You know, windbreaks have been around forever, but the problem is they usually don't make growers money directly. But here's a crop you can put in a windbreak and harvest it over the top with the machine. So it should fit into people's production. So we could see this in the central sands, around field edges, or even infield rows, anywhere we deal with wind potential erosion. But along streamside buffers, they do a good job absorbing nitrogen. So it's really a dual purpose crop where growers can make money growing it, but we also get all these ecosystem service benefits from
that
as well.
That's terrific. It really is. And so you don't have to harvest hazelnuts by hand, because that would be, I can only imagine how labor intensive that would be.
Yeah. Some people will do it on like an acre scale, but then their friends and family know to disappear when the hazelnuts
are ripe. But it's like when it's like when it's time to put in the pier. It's like, yeah, we're gone that weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But no, they're machine harvestable. And actually, we can use existing equipment. Blueberry harvesters work pretty well. We're doing some work to optimize harvesting technology for it. But, you know, in terms of like the base platform, machine harvesting is totally doable.
If someone is listening and they would like to start, you know, see if they can grow hazelnuts on their property, where do they begin?
MidwestHazelnuts.org. That's our information clearinghouse. It's got a whole Hazelnuts 101 fact sheets. So first step is do some reading. During a blizzard, it's a perfect time to do that. And then really the next step, we do an annual conference that rotates Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. This year it's over in Northfield, Minnesota. That's the next best place to get good information. And then it's a matter of tracking down some plant material and starting out. You know, we recommend start out 100 plants minimum for the first year, just to get your feet wet and know that you can do this, and then scale from there.
If you have a question for Jason, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Did you have a question for Jason?
Good morning. Jason, you were talking about the hardiness of a nut. It doesn't sound right, but... I'm from Russia, and we do have hazelnuts. We have wild and we have a cultural. And you're absolutely right. They are a little bit smaller sizes, but they taste way better than the big ones in the store here. Have you ever looked into cross-pollinating it? I can bring you some next time I'm there.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Yeah. One of our collaborators in New Jersey, Tom Molnar, has done some collections in Northern Europe, because the European species has a broad geographic range as well. So we know that there are selections of Avellana that will tolerate some cold temperatures. So that's been part of our breeding program, some of the pollen coming from those collections. So it's definitely a possibility. And it's good to hear that you like the taste. We hear that a lot.
Well, now I'm really curious. Now I want to buy some. I especially want to buy that mixture that you mentioned of chocolate and cranberries and hazelnuts.
Oh, yeah.
I need that. Yeah. Where can I get that?
Yeah, the source right now for Midwest grown American hazelnuts is the American Hazelnut Company, AmericanHazelnutCompany.com. And they've got a range of products, oil, the flour, and some lightly roasted whole hazelnuts. That would be a great place to start.
That sounds wonderful. We will check it out, and we will make sure that we include that in the show notes. Do you have time to stick around for one more segment, Jason?
Sure, no problem.
All right. If you have a question for Jason, please give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Stay close. When we return, more nuts for hazelnuts. This is Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. I just want to remind you to make sure to download the Civic Media app if you are a music fan, and we're probably all going to be hunkered down this weekend with the weather.
Very, very, very probable.
Yeah, so if you're going to be hunkered down at home tomorrow night, especially, Max Inc. Radio is bringing you live in the Lair with a performance and interview with Blame It on Kane. That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. January 13th, Blame It on Kane, an all-original rock band from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And with this weather, Jane, I don't know if any other live performances are really going to be going on around the state.
Yeah.
So just snuggle up in your living room, turn on the Civic Media app, and listen to our friends over at Max Inc.
Absolutely. It's a great, great show. We are joined by Jason Fishbach. He's a UW Extension agent. He runs a hazelnut shelling facility in Ashland and has also been at the very beginnings of the Midwest hazelnut business since it began. You had mentioned, Jason, when we first started talking, that they've been trying to crossbreed the European and the North American hazelnut. I saw, in this WPR article, going back 100 years, they've been trying to do this a long time.
Yeah, there's a reason why we don't have a nut crop in Wisconsin. It's because it takes forever to produce one, right? So a long-lived perennial species, you know, it takes 20 to 25 years to produce a new variety. And to do that, you have to sustain a breeding program for that long. And in the age of, you know, two-year grant cycles and quite frankly, short, you know, life and attention spans, it's hard to do that. So there have been fits and starts, mainly by private breeders or researchers at the end of their careers, taking on a pet project or something. So it's really just been the last 15 years that we've been able to sustain a breeding program, which is why we're having the success that we're having. You know, we're starting to enter that phase now where we're releasing new material and we've got a pipeline behind it with more material coming. So it's an exciting time. We finally, I feel like, got over that hurdle.
Well, that's
that it takes.
Yeah, boy, with long, grueling process, you have to be really patient if you're a scientist.
Oh yeah. Yep.
844-967-2789. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Did you have a question for Jason?
Yeah, good morning. I grew up in Douglas County, and there was always a few hazelnuts growing around, you know, the house out along the woods there when I was growing up. And I always had to kind of fight the squirrels for them because it was rare to actually, you beat the squirrels to the nuts that were actually became ripe. And it's fascinating. I mean, I find this really interesting that there's actually going to be, you know, another nut crop in Wisconsin, because, you know, it's unfortunately we lost the American chestnut, you know, to the chestnut blight, you know, decades ago now, that you know, the blight came through and wiped out the American chestnut, which was, you know, again, an American nut that was apparently sweeter and tastier than the European chestnut. So that I think it's wonderful that, especially coming from, you know, growing up from far northern Wisconsin, that and having spent some time on the shores of Lake Superior there and in Port Wing and Herbster, that I really appreciate, you know, something coming out of Ashland, and this sounds pretty exciting.
It is, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mark. It really is, and we're always happy to highlight different industries in Wisconsin and the different agriculture. We you know, we're all very pro Wisconsin here, and the more we can do to help bring attention to things like this, the happier I am. We have a question, Jason, from someone who's watching on the live stream. Many years ago, I took part in a test from the Arbor Day Foundation for a hybrid hazelnut project. Mine didn't survive. Are you doing anything similar?
Yeah, the Arbor Day Foundation's been a partner over the years, and they actually were a predecessor in starting this process. You know, like I said, this takes a generation, and so we all stand on each other's shoulders. So what they did is they took some of those early hybrids and sold plants to growers to try to start to build momentum and interest and stuff, and did a great job. And some of that plant material, you know, is in our breeding population still today. You know, the growing hazelnuts is, especially when you're of diversity of genetics like this, you do expect some are going to do really well and some not very well at all. That's part of the breeding process. So our job is to find the ones that do very well for everybody all the time and get those out to commercial growers. Because if you're trying to grow a business or make money, you've got to have reliable genetics. So that's been the focus of our project.
Absolutely. Jason Fishbach is our guest. We are talking about hazelnuts in a burgeoning hazelnut industry, a new nut to Wisconsin. Do we have a mascot yet, Jason?
No, but we need one. We're close. We have Blue Jays love hazelnuts. And usually when you see a blue jay in the fall, you see it flying away with a nut in its beak. So that's so far, that's kind of our unofficial mascot.
So nothing like a Mr. Peanut, not a hazelnut with legs and a top hat and, I don't know, a monocle or anything like that.
Not yet. We're definitely working on branding what a Midwest hazelnut is, how it's different from a Turkish hazelnut or a Oregon hazelnut.
That's just a fast, like, I picture in the, like, kind of mascot logo, the hazelnut still being personified and just terrified because it's being carried away by that blue jay. So that's where my mind went when we're, like, talking.
Yeah. Now you're making the hazelnut. Now you're making the hazelnut the victim.
I know. That's what it sounded
probably
like.
Not the right kind of branding that you're looking for.
They'll have to be friends. The blue jay and the hazelnuts can be friends.
It's a symbiotic.
Yeah,
it's a symbiotic kind of thing.
Yes.
One more time, Jason, for people who are listening, if they want to buy hazelnut products or if they want to learn more about hazelnuts or even considering getting into growing hazelnuts, where should they go? Who should they contact?
Yeah. So to learn more about hazelnuts, MidwestHazelnuts.org. That's primarily pitched to growers. If you're interested in eating hazelnuts, AmericanHazelnutCompany.com.
I am so going there right after the show because
there you go.
Now I'm really hungry for them.
The studio is going to be overflowing with the mix.
With the hazelnuts.
Yes.
Jason Fishbach, it has really been a pleasure talking to you about this. Thank you so very much. I hope you will keep us informed on all hazelnut news. And if there's anything we can do to help you get the word out, we will be happy to do so.
Great. Thanks very much.
Hopefully all the samples do really well in this blizzard, too. I got a good feeling if they survive this weather, they're going to be some of those winning crop.
Exactly.
They're going to be free and clear. Thank you so very much. All right. Stay close. We have the news coming up next when we return. Some really exciting entertainment news featuring a Wisconsin actress.
Yes. And there's always a Wisconsin connection. It's
3 degrees of cheese.
3 degrees of cheese?
Huh?
Have you been saying that for a while
now?
No,
I just thought of it, actually.
You just thought of that.
I did.
That is genius. I love it. And we need to play that game. Because 3 degrees to cheese is... have you ever played the Kevin Bacon game on Wikipedia?
I know of the Kevin Bacon game.
It sounds like that, but even better. It's the cheese version. It's the Wisconsin version.
Oh, the meetings we're going to have. Meetings we're going to have as we put together this contest.
Yeah.
I can only wait.
We could just surprise Greg with it once he's back.
That works.
That's what we can do. All right. Can have some fun with Greg.
Stay close. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. President Biden with a warning to Houthi rebels.
We will make sure that we respond to Houthis as they continue this outrageous behavior, along with our allies.
The retaliatory strikes are in response to Houthi attacks in the Red Sea. Another winter storm's about to hit Chicago, where residents are still trying to shovel out from the last one.
No official measurement, but it's about shin deep as I was shoveling, so that's it's pretty deep.
Federal prosecutors want the death penalty for the Buffalo supermarket mass shooter. He's already serving life without parole for killing 10 people at the store in 2022. Attorney Terry Connors represents some of the families and says the case may take a while.
Even if it were to bring this to a conclusion via a speedy trial, the appellate process will take years to resolve. These cases are litigated always up to the United States Supreme Court because the ultimate death penalty is at issue.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Keeping the power on is one of the biggest challenges in a big winter storm. 23,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin lost their electricity at one point Friday morning. The hardest hit area was Milwaukee County. Wisconsin lawmakers will likely take up tax cuts again. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says it would be hard to cut taxes without also cutting public services. Democrats say they'll prioritize working families.
People do want to have the services that are going to allow them and their families to live a good life in their communities. And they also want to feel like their tax burden is fair, right? And they see the benefit of that. So we try to balance all of those things.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. A winter storm warning continues across the region. A few more inches of snowfall possible. Winds blow it around out of the northwest to 35 miles per hour. Low tonight around 22. Temperatures fall throughout the daytime tomorrow and wind chills approaching 15 below Saturday night.
Right now, it's 28.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? Created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you.
to Matt Nair on air. Jay, Matt Nair, Luke Mathers coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Shout out to everybody listening in Wausau on WXCO and in Oshkosh on WISS. Just looking, taking a look, Luke, at that 511WI.gov map that shows all the accidents all over the state, and it's getting worse.
Shocked.
I know.
I'm shocked.
We now have, this is just outside of Wausau, Wisconsin, 29 West is completely closed at County S because of a crash there. We have 41, 45 South completely closed at Lannan because of a crash. So they're diverting traffic off and then back onto the I at Lannan Road. But they're all over the place. Eau Claire, they have some. Stevens Point, Oshkosh now, Manitowoc, around Janesville, and further south all the way to the Illinois state line. So things are going to continue deteriorating as the day goes on. It's just, it's not going to get better. So please, if you don't have to go out, don't go out.
Yes. Know before you go, check those roads. Be safe. Do not try to get anywhere in a hurry.
Yeah. Like, do not, it's not going to happen,
it's
folks.
It's not. It's not.
And please turn your lights on.
Yes. Wipers, lights, drive safe. Do everything you can with precaution. Be extra, extra safe. And make sure if you've got to go somewhere, if you absolutely have to, just take your time.
Take your time. And another thing, this happened last year, and I had never seen this happen before, Luke, when I was driving out to work. And we had had a big snowfall the night before, probably 5 to 6 inches. And I was coming to one of these intersections in downtown Waukesha. And this guy was taking a right turn where I was going to be taking a left. And he hadn't brushed off the top of his vehicle.
Oh,
and so there's 6 inches of snow on
yes.
top of his vehicle. And he takes the corner and all of that snow fell right over his windshield.
Yes.
And he stopped traffic.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't see.
He couldn't. And if it's that much accumulation on the top, there's no way that your wipers are going to remove that
no,
for you.
So not a chance.
You have to park the car.
Yes.
Get out. Clear everything with your
get
scraper.
It off. Yep.
And then get back in your car and resume. So, yeah, that's be careful.
Just a couple of things to keep in mind. I know we've all done this before, but
we are Wisconsinites, folks. We know how to drive in the snow.
We
just
should.
Remember that. Just do everything with caution today and be safe. And if you don't have to go anywhere, don't.
Don't. Yeah, stay comfy at home. Coming up at 11:50, I'm very excited to talk to Phil Humphrey. He's the owner and the head brewer at the 608 Brewing Company. And after the news came out that the former UW lacrosse chancellor had been making some vegan pornography in his spare time, they came out with a beer called Hot for Chancellor. And, I mean, they were on this within days.
Yes, very, very quickly after this news broke, this beer was there. And I've enjoyed a couple of their beverages in their taproom before, yeah. Very.
So you are familiar with 608 Brewing Company?
Yes, I believe cribbage. I played cribbage in their taproom with some friends when we got done hiking in the La Crosse area.
Nice. And
so I'm very interested to see what this beer tastes like eventually. I'm gonna have to go find a six-pack.
It's going to be a
something.
Little spicy.
That's what
you would think. If you ever want to join us, you can call or text at 844-967-2789-844-96. Or leave a message on the stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We're going to be celebrating Wisconsin Actor. And Luke, why don't you take the lead on this? Because you're the one who found it.
Yeah, well, the 3 degrees of cheese is going to be amazing. And we're going to implement this everywhere because there's always a Wisconsin connection. And I am a huge fan of essentially everything that Marvel puts out. Big, big comic nerd when it comes to what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Other comics, not so much.
Not so much.
But this week...
Okay, I have to stop you because comic book fans are very adamant on which is the better world.
Yes.
So what is it about Marvel that draws you to Marvel?
That is an excellent question. I don't know if I've self-examined that. I've just always preferred the storytelling and the character development in Marvel comics more. Like Batman, and I get there's a lot of parallels to Iron Man, and Iron Man's not a huge, I'm not a huge fan of Iron Man in MCU. Like I get his place. I understand it in the entire ethos of Marvel comics.
Right.
But the idea of a billionaire coming to save the day doesn't really excite me when it comes to who I envision as heroes. So okay. Neither Batman nor Iron Man are really at the top of my list of favorite heroes. But because Batman plays such a large role in DC Comics, I've never really, like, I've watched the Batman movies. They're great. The Superman movies, I've never been able to really get into. Not a huge fan of, like, thinking that somebody from out of this world should be the hero. Like, not to say that, like, Superman's not, like, he's one of the first. That's great. He was one of the first. But, like, I like the fact that a lot of Marvel characters are, like, everyday folks.
Who are able to do remarkable things.
Right. And so it's obviously a supernatural occurring event that gives these individuals the abilities that they get throughout the comics. And it varies backstory by backstory. But at the core of it, there's a lot of just everyday folks that then all of a sudden have these gifts or these abilities thrust upon them. And that's what develops, in my opinion, a really good superhero genre.
I find that fascinating. I really do. I was never into comic books. That was never my thing. I was a big reader and I loved books. But, you know, I was completely unaware of the whole Marvel DC rivalry and all of that. But that makes a lot of sense.
At the core, it's storytelling. And I think sometimes it gets written off as, oh, well, it's a comic. It's for kids. It's not like in-depth storytelling. But what the Marvel Cinematic Universe did is something that no other franchise that it even tried to attempt, but there were like 23, 24 films all built off of each other.
Wow.
And they all integrated into what they referred to as the Infinity Saga. And now Marvel's kind of getting a lot of criticism for, well, all right, Thanos is dead. You kind of had all of that build up stuff to that one thing. And now you don't really know where to go with this. And so in recent years, there's been critiques of Marvel saying, well, it's kind of lost its direction. It doesn't know what to do. It's kind of floundering. But I love all these little side series and stories that you can follow that are still a lot based off of that core Infinity Saga story. And so this week we got a new series on Disney Plus, Echo, premiered this week with all five of their episodes. And it has a very Wisconsin connection.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I found the piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They did excellent reporting. Frank Vazavalis, I want to say, but Frank, I apologize if I'm butchering your last name.
Vivius?
Yeah.
We'll just call him Frankie V.
Yeah, Frank taking care of this over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But the Menominee actress that plays the lead in this new series on Disney Plus is from Wisconsin.
That is so fantastic.
And she was never a classically trained actress. She was encouraged by individuals, family and friends in her life to try out an audition for this role. And she got the role, originally this character appearing back in a 2021 series titled Hawkeye, which is one of the other spinoff characters. And she did an excellent job in that series, and they gave her own series. So she's a representative of the Menominee Nation here from Wisconsin. She's young. She's 26 years old.
Yeah.
And she is the star of the new series on Disney Plus for Marvel.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is. She says, Alakwa Cox, in this article, she says, I just can't believe that the Native American community can have a Native American superhero.
Yeah. And it's
representation matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so often in a lot of these now, because comics have been around for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's hard to get into the comic game now because all the originals are really expensive. Like, you
insanely expensive.
And so unless you've been collecting them for decades, like, you are, there's a whole new generation being introduced to these storylines through the series that are streaming, through the movies, through all of these different things that are now coming about. But the representation that is there has always been there in a lot of comics. Like, comics have been,
they were kind of at the cutting edge of that, weren't they?
Yeah.
Right.
And so nowadays, in the culture wars that we're seeing get waged about, well, it's all identity politics. You get a subset of the internet and individuals out there that are like, well, you don't need that kind of superhero. Just give me my Superman. Give me my Batman. And it's like, you don't understand that these storylines have been out there in the comics and for a very long time.
Right.
And just because they're now being adapted to the screen doesn't mean this is just like the first go around for this storytelling. And so I think it's amazing. I think it's incredible that there is a Wisconsin connection and a representation for a very underserved in the superhero canon.
Oh, yeah.
A native indigenous woman.
Who's deaf.
Who's deaf. And she has one. She has an amputated leg. So it goes in the genre that Daredevil kind of was the first, the man without fear is what Daredevil was referred to.
Okay.
Because he was a blind superhero. And so Echo going along kind of that similar aspect of playing up the fact that just because somebody has a disability does not mean that they are not capable of being a superhero.
The article in the Journal Sentinel says the studio had been looking for a young, athletic Native American actress who is deaf to play the role as a conflicted villain to Jeremy Renner, I assume, Avengers character. Correct. Hawkeye.
Correct.
And she says she was hesitant to audition at first. She had no acting experience, but gave it a shot and landed it. And that's a soda fountain discovery moment.
Yes.
You know, it really is.
It's that's got to be the opportunity of a lifetime, too. Just imagine to be here from Wisconsin and all of a sudden you go from auditioning for it wasn't a main character in the Hawkeye series.
Right.
It was kind of one of the characters that was being introduced a couple years ago. But now to have a full spinoff and her own series that she's starring in, I think it's incredible. I think it's awesome. It's one more example of just Wisconsin having a connection to everything. And I will warn parents. I hear it's a little bit of it's very fight intensive series.
Okay.
So you're going to want to make sure that, you know,
check the age.
Yeah.
Right.
Check the age. I'm not exactly sure how it gets all rated, but it's on Disney Plus, but it is, I've been told, I haven't got a chance yet to watch any of the episodes. I've heard that it's a little violent.
All right. Well, keep that in mind, moms and dads.
Yes.
And again, Alcoa, how do you pronounce her first name?
Alcoa Cox.
Alcoa.
I believe.
Cox was born deaf, grew up on the Menominee Reservation. She went to the Wisconsin School for the Deaf in Delavan with a prosthetic leg, but still performs many of her own stunts which is just super, super cool.
Yeah. I could not do my own stunts. Could you do your own stunts, Jane?
What do my stunts involve?
I don't know.
Does it involve sitting and lifting a glass? That
you can do your own stunts.
That I can do.
But having like stunt individuals like Hollywood, like Disney has got the budget of everything. And you're telling me that she's still doing her own stunts. That's incredible.
It
because
is.
That's something that I think a lot of actors and actresses are more than happy to say, okay, no. The stunt double, they can do that one. I don't want to be a part of that car chase scene or that fight scene or anything like that. And it's just incredible. The Wisconsin connection, the representation for indigenous individuals in a genre that is all about representation. It's just great to see, in my opinion.
Yet again, another example of 3 degrees of cheese.
Yeah. And I'm going to get an open for it. This is going to be fun. We're going to have some fun with 3 degrees of cheese.
We're also going to have fun with our next guest. He is the head brewer and the owner of the 608 Brewing Company. Phil Humphrey is going to join us when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Looking for lab-grown diamonds? Robert Hack Diamonds sells them at crazy prices.
How about 2-carat total weight diamond studs for $999? Robert Hack Diamonds can get any size, shape, or clarity in natural or lab-grown diamonds. Don't buy until you call Robert Hack Diamonds. $999 for a pair of 2-carat diamond studs? Wow! Robert Hack Diamonds in both Greenfield and Brookfield.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeehaw, and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair. Luke Mathers coming to you live from our studio in a very snowy downtown of Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
That was pretty good. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to talk to our next guest. There's been a lot going on with the 608 Brewing Company. Joining us, he is the owner and the head brewer of the 608 Brewing Company, Phil Humphrey. Good morning, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We are great. Thank you so very much. So we want to talk about your Hot for Chancellor beer. This, of course, after the UW lacrosse chancellor was kicked out after they discovered that he and his wife had been making vegetarian pornography, apparently.
Vegan
pornography. And you guys turned around this Hot for Chancellor beer so quickly. I just find that remarkable. How did that all happen?
We do a lot of like sour, fruited sour type beers. So you use this kind of a similar base beer that's just got some tartness to it. And then we can kind of apply, you know, the fruit or pastry or whatever, like we're going for with that beer. And we happened to have one in the tank and we were kind of just sitting around spitballing like, hey, we should try and do something for this, and tossing names out. And most of them we weren't going to be able to use. and then, you know, Hot for Chancellor kind of got thrown out there and I was like, that's like too good not to use. It does help that we have a graphic designer on staff, because we do so many beers that, you know, instead of paying some contractor tons and tons of money a year, we just brought one on staff and had it. He was able to crank out a label in a couple of days, and our label company was able to turn it around pretty fast. So it actually happened like a week faster than we thought we could even do it.
So you weren't sitting on the story and like aware of it already, knowing that this was going to break with the beer kind of waiting in the wings. It was just the fantastic team that you have there at 608 Brewing Company that was able to turn it around so quickly?
Yeah, exactly. We just took a beer that was going to be, it was going to be something else. And that beer, that other beer will still come out, but we had to rebrew it because we're like, well, we need to, if we don't do this right away, we're kind of, you know, you kind of lose the momentum. So we definitely just kind of got lucky, I guess. Depends who you talk to. Some people aren't really liking what we did, and other people think it's hilarious. So,
well, I have to say, because when you and I talked originally, and you were a little bit concerned about stepping on some toes, but for the most part, it seems like it's being well-received. And the former chancellor of UW lacrosse came to the brewery, right?
Yes, he came in on Wednesday. Apparently they were actually going to come on Tuesday. And I don't know how that would have went. That would have been interesting. Because we were pretty busy on Tuesday when it released. He did come in on Wednesday. They tried it. They liked it. They didn't feel like it was anything negative for them.
Oh no, I can picture that he was probably pretty excited. I mean, if anybody made a beer with like my likeness, and like I would be racing to go try it, and I would be like, regardless of the circumstances, I think I would find it incredible.
Can you, Luke? Do you want to describe the label, or Phil? Do you want to describe the label?
Let's leave it to Phil.
Yeah, so basically we just were like, all right, he likes to run. He, you know, they're vegans. So we drew a picture, you know, similar to him. We didn't copy it from anything. We did create the picture. We didn't go and steal it from somebody else's site or anything.
Sure.
And then just had him running with the, you know, the cap and gown, and then, you know, threw the little sensor bar over the crotch area, holding his bowl of fruits and jogging along, you know.
Your marketing meetings must be so much fun. I wish I had been in that meeting when you were kicking around names for this thing. I can only imagine.
They're usually pretty entertaining, but we do a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff with a lot of our other stuff too. So this isn't new for us to like pick something and like just probably go farther than the average person would do. Sometimes it's not probably our best decisions to do things, but
oh, this is how we learn.
I don't know if you can't have fun. Then you're just living life too serious, you know?
Yeah. If you can't have fun, what's the point of getting out of bed? If you're just joining us, Phil Humphrey is the owner and the head brewer at the 608 Brewing Company, just out this week with a Hot for Chancellor beer for the former chancellor at UW La Crosse, Tony Gao. Anything else on the horizon that you want to share with us or tease us with? Well, first of all, where can people get this beer?
That's what I was waiting to ask.
So that's the kind of been the issue we already ran into. It's basically gone. The cans sold out within half an hour on Tuesday, and then we're on to actually our last keg of it already.
Oh wow!
We did save one keg because we are doing a beer fest in Madison next Saturday.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
A half barrel of it.
Perfect.
Are you gonna be the beer and cheese?
Yes, I will be there.
Yeah, we actually are bringing our last half barrel to that event.
I will make sure that I find 608 as early on in the festival as I possibly can then.
You should all wear like chancellor robes or something, Phil.
I don't know if my sales guy that's doing it, that's super into
dressing up. If you ever want us in those marketing meetings, all you got to do is call. We got all kinds of ideas.
Yeah.
Just do one live on the air. Why not?
Sure.
I love it. That's a segment right in itself right there.
Phil Humphrey joining us from the 608 Brewing Company talking about their latest brew, Hot for Chancellor, which if you want to get a taste of it, apparently you're going to have to go to this event next weekend in Madison.
Yeah. Or is there, you said there's a little bit left in the keg in the tap room, I'm sure, Phil?
Yeah, we just tapped our last half barrel of it last night. So, I mean, it probably won't make it through the weekend. It might make it a little farther today because of the weather.
I was say, people won't travel too far in the blizzard conditions.
What are you seeing up there right now, Phil? Because it's snowing like crazy here in Waukesha.
It's probably been like 3 or 4 inches so far, but it's been coming down. You know, it's steady. It's not really. It doesn't look like it's slowing down.
Not anytime soon. All right. Well, we will cut you loose, Phil Humphrey from the 608 Brewing Company. Thank you so very much for joining us, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
No, thank you, guys.
Have a great day. Stay tuned. The news is on the way next, followed by the Todd Father.
The Todd Father.
The one and only Todd Alba show from noon until 2 p.m. Thank you so very much for listening and calling and texting. Please, please be careful today and over the weekend because it's going to get bitterly cold tomorrow. So take care of yourself, take care of your neighbors, take care of your animals, and take care of each other. I hope you find some joy today. You have the chance to share it. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Like a neon dream, it just don't know me. The bars and this guitar and long neck eyes, cold beer never broke my heart. No, it never broke my heart.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.